Welcome back to the Model Counselor Podcast. I am your hostess, Aubrey Ebony, and I am so excited to have you back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. So today we are on season 2, episode 5. And I think the most amazing thing about this particular episode is the fact that I had world-renowned, talented, celebrity, iconic, historic photographer, Nigel Barker, to do an interview with me. I literally had the opportunity to interview with Nigel Barker, and I could not even be more excited. You know, the way it even happened, and as you listen, you'll kind of, pick up some things that encouraged me or that, you know, really define how I do my business, how I, you know, put myself out there. But honestly, guys, I just reached out to Nigel. I just sent him a message via Instagram and just seeing if this was something he was, you know, he would have any interest in working on or being a part of. And so, you know, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to, you know, put yourself out there because you never know what's going to happen. Again, I interviewed with Nigel Barker. We know him from America's Next Top Model, but I wanted him to give a little bit of insight on who he was outside of the show. And this is what he had to say.
I actually started my career as a model as well, right? So late 80s. There was a show in England called The Clothes Show, which was a similar show to sort of an America's Next Top Model, but it was more of a general fashion show with designers. If you can imagine Project Runway meets America's Next Top Model.
I would have never guessed that Nigel Barker had been a big model back in the 80s. Like, that is just not a part of the history of him that I know. And so that's what made this interview even more amazing, is because I got the opportunity to listen in on some of these things that you wouldn't know. but as I listened to him, I got the opportunity to, you know, talk to him about some of the things that he's experienced in the industry, you know, what he went through, some of his challenges, ideally his journey. And I was actually really surprised when I heard what he had to say in terms of his journey, what he went through. Check this out.
I wasn't even allowed to tell people that I was from Sri Lanka or India, actually, because there was no work for Sri Lankan and Indian models. It was as if Sri Lankan and Indian people simply didn't buy fashion and didn't buy beauty products.
Sound familiar? You know, when I think about, you know, how in the African-American community that there was such a lack of, you know, representation of Black models, of African-American models, of African models, of Caribbean models in the industry, we just were not represented. And to hear that Nigel in the 90s, you know, was of a different ethnicity, of a different culture, that they're, you know, his agency is like, hey, don't tell people that you're this. Don't tell people that you're that. And I just don't think that's okay. You know, I find that the industry has definitely changed. But even as a foundation of that being the standard of beauty, is like, hey, don't tell people what you really are. It's upsetting. But you know what? It's even more interesting because he talked about how the industry helped him, you know, realize that he didn't fit in. And, you know, there were a group of people amongst industry professionals, you know, who gave him a safe space, because, you know, the modeling industry is full of so many creative and different people. And then when you travel, you know, you meet these people that you wouldn't have met. And, you know, he talked a lot about how technology's changed things over time, and how people have been more receptive to newer things because you can see them today. But, you know, back then it wasn't the same. They didn't have the technology that we have today. And so, you know, fitting in was harder because if you looked different, you didn't really have people around you that looked like you. But this is what he had to say about that.
I realized that I'd never fit in anywhere. You know, like, it's...
I feel the same.
You know, I grew up in England as a kid who was... I'm of Sri Lankan heritage, right? So Sri Lanka, a small island off the coast of India, part of the English colonies. My mother had come over from Sri Lanka with my grandmother and my aunt in the late 60s. She was a Miss World contestant. And and I'd been brought up as a sort of Anglo-Indian, if you like, child in England. But as a result, never fit in, because the Indian Sri Lankan community never accepted me because I wasn't dark enough and I wasn't Sri Lankan enough. And the English community didn't accept me because I wasn't white. So I was this sort of, I was one of the very first half, we call them half castes, which is a horrible expression, but it means you're half one and half another. And that's what we were called. When I first came, they would say Macy's or so-and-so is doing a casting, and they're looking to be multicultural, and they're looking for someone who's Chinese, someone who's sort of, or Asian, someone who's Latin, someone who's white, and someone who's Black. Right, so those were the options. You could be Black, you could be white, you could be Asian, or you could be Hispanic. And I didn't look, because I'm half, I'm half. Yeah. I didn't look like I was one or the other. So there was no half-half mix, right? It wasn't just like, we're going to book you because we like you. You had to fit a genre or type or, a, you know. And so they would say, you look most like Hispanic. So tell people you're Latin.
It sounds to me that the industry has always had such a hard time accepting and embracing change. You know, it definitely sounds like that, you know, seeing Nigel, and even when I checked out his photos from the 80s, the 90s, like they were great photos. And, you know, true, he talked about how he landed some major campaigns with like Calvin Klein and, you know, things of that nature. But the fact that he still had people telling him, hey, don't tell people you're from Sri Lanka. Don't tell people you're, you know, Indian. Don't tell people any of that. You know, they don't want to know that. Let's pretend that you fit something different. And that's the issue with the industry, is trying to mold you into something and not really embracing you for the beautiful features, the beautiful culture, you know, and just the differences you can bring to their campaign.
There's a lot of people out there who are very mean and very awful, who will say, God, look at you. What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing that. You're this, you're that, you know, you're too big, you're too small, you're too fat, you're too wide, you're too this. I wrote a book, it's called The Beauty Equation. And it's specifically about, finding your inner beauty and realizing that if you push your inner beauty out, that is actually how you become your most beautiful person.
So be sure that you are pushing that inner beauty out to become the most beautiful and best version of you that you can be. And that's what I feel like I try to do. I feel like I try to do things that show people that I am more than just this image. You know, I take really nice pictures and I love the photos that I take. I'm very proud of them. But it's what's on the inside that makes my photos shine. It's what's on the inside that makes me as a person more relatable. And you have to bring that out on the forefront. At the same time, though, you know, Nigel was really awesome to give us a piece of insight on why models are a particular size, why the industry is so, you know, picky about what they accept. And that's because when it comes to shows or photo shoots, the designers are only making garments that fit a certain size. And the industry apparently agreed upon the sample size that they were going to use, you know, in runway shows and in marketing. And the models had to fit that size. So that's where the industry standard came from. Listen.
You know, one of the reasons why models are 5'9", size 2-4, have a size 9 foot, all this sort of, like, if you like, perfection, but it's not so much perfection. It is the fact that it's a sample size, right? So a lot of designers and people, when they make clothes for the first time, they have to make it in a sample size to try it on, right? So it's, what is that size? And they kind of years ago agreed on what that size would be. And it was a 5'9" model who was a size 2-4 that had a size 9 foot. And that is basically like what the sample of everything was made in. So when they did a fashion show and everything, everything was made in the sample size, and they would only ever make one or two of things, and you had to fit into it in order to wear it, because they couldn't afford to make 100 or 1,000 because they hadn't sold it yet.
Marinate on that for a second. It's not because, you know, you're not this, or it's not because you're not that. You know, the underlying reason is because of historically the industry creating a standard that these designers, these brands would create sample sizes for these shoots and for these shows. That's where that comes from. And, you know, that was amazing to find out, because I personally had never known that. But wouldn't it be easier to explain that to people instead of having people guess or wonder or become insecure? Wouldn't it just be easier to just say, hey, we like the way you look. We like you. But the industry is set to where these are the sizes that we need, because that's what the designers are making. That would have been much easier to say. You know, the industry made it so hard. They made it so challenging, you know, and as if, you know, being a different complexion or a different ethnicity was, you know, wasn't enough. Keep in mind, they didn't have comp card, you know, printers and e-cards and websites where, model square or whatever these things are that we use. But I want you to dial back and listen to what his experience was, even when trying to communicate with his agency or get something to or from his agency.
The whole world was very different. You got to understand, there were no cell phones. Forget about Instagram or Facebook. We didn't have cell phones. right? Yeah. We were the era of fax machines, if you can believe that, and beepers, right? So we would, I would go to my agency and fax my friends or fax my girlfriend somewhere else in the world and tell her, and then she would go to the agency waiting, has someone faxed me? Has my boyfriend faxed? And that's how you would correspond. And
you know, models today talk about, oh, I don't want to pay for, you know, a cop card. I don't want to pay for digitals. I don't want to pay for, you know, all these things. Take a step back, guys. Really take a step back and just realize how grateful we are to be able to just send our agent $75 and they print out our card or email it to us, however it is that we need to do. You know, the effort it took to be, you know, successful back then was so much harder than what it is today. And we think we have it hard, but we don't. You know, we can print out something. We can take a photo and airdrop it or Bluetooth it to our phone. You know, we have so many different ways to make it easy on us that, like, some of the excuses that we make, like, oh, I don't have the time or I don't have a photographer, all of these things, these excuses we make should really just be nipped in the bud, guys, because it was so much harder back then to be successful. And you have all the tools today that are easy to take advantage of to be able to become successful, like printers, printing out a comp card, taking photos on your iPhone. You know, we have access to any photo editing software we want. All you have to do is pay for it. You know, so putting the effort into your career, putting the effort into your image, putting the effort into your brand is extremely important because it was so much harder back then. And today they have so many things out there that make it so much easier for us. But you know what we don't have today that they had back in the day are those like amazing icons. And I know Nigel spoke about kind of his experience and, you know, the industry and what it was like for him back then, where the people we know today as icons were just in our position trying to make it.
It was the era of the supermodels. I modeled with, you know, the likes of like the sort of the, you know, Naomi Campbell. I worked with Christy Turlington, Nadia Ormond, Linda Evangelista, a very few other people, and lots of other models, but specifically with like Chanel and things like that at that time.
You know what I find interesting? I find it interesting that the models that were top tier, high fashion, elite back in the 90s, the 80s, you know, like Tyra, like Naomi, like Kate Moss, you know, they look so beautiful. But compared to the models that we have today, their beauty standards have just shifted. The industry's beauty standards has just shifted. I think of Ducky, I think of Adut, I think of Winnie Harlow, I think of Bella Hadid, and how they have just such features that are so different than, you know, the next model. And that's what makes them top tier today. That's what makes them high end, high fashion today. Compared to looking at the face of like Tyra Banks and comparing it to a model like Slick Woods, drastically different, you know, like both beautiful women, both super talented, you know, amazing models for sure. But take a picture of Tyra's face in her prime and take a picture of Slick Woods' face and just how the industry's changed and the acceptance and the diversity and the inclusion of different features, skin complexions, you know, has really changed over time. And it's important to think about like what caused these changes, like what has caused, you know, this inclusion outside of the fact that like, for sure, we should have always been including these people in the industry. We should have always been including diversity. But what triggered the change? What sparked the change?
The internet was booming. Email became a big thing. Like all of these sorts of ways where people realized they weren't alone. When people realized and they could do research and they weren't afraid of other cultures, or they realized the beauty in other cultures. And those other cultures also represented dollars, right? So let's get back down to the nitty gritty. It all boils down to money. And if you know, one of these countries, one of these cultures has the money to buy and one thing, then all of a sudden, you know, the actual companies that are making the products just go, okay, we need to advertise to them.
So I'm a 90s baby, and being raised in the 90s, born in the 90s, 92, I really got to see the internet kind of take off, right, from then to now. And thinking about how models and how the industry was impacted from that makes complete sense. You had people that looked extremely different, that looked, you know, androgynous, and you're like, where do these people come from? I've never seen anything like that. But when you have the internet, you can see that there's so many more beautiful people of these different cultures, of these ethnicities, and the industry really took advantage of that. Unfortunate that it sounds like part of the taking advantage of diversity and inclusion meant marketing to those people, but at the end of the day, it did add the opportunity to be a part of the industry if you did look different.
when the industry changed, as I mentioned, I knew I had to do something, and I'd always been taking pictures. So I transitioned into being a photographer and a test photographer shooting models at that point in the mid 90s. Wow. And it took me about 3 or 4 years of being a hardcore test photographer, going testing models in Milan, Paris, London, New York, for all the agencies before I got my first big break.
Becoming successful is not an overnight process. Becoming great is not an overnight process. And I think that we forget sometimes how hard these journeys can be because we look on social media, we look at these magazines, and we feel like time is like moving quick. And so we see somebody at one point and then we see them in a year or so at another point, and we're like, oh my gosh, like I want to be that, I want to do that. But the reality of it is that becoming successful takes time. It took Nigel 5-6 years of testing models. I don't know if you know about testing models, but a lot of shoots that are tests are not paid. So it took him, you know, 3, 4, 5 years of hard work, of networking, of really putting himself out there before he got his big break. How long have you been doing what you're doing now? How long have you been shooting? How long have you been modeling? How long have you been acting? How long have you been doing what you're doing? If it's 1 year, understand it, it's going to take some time. And to be fair, you know, everybody has a different journey time frame, right? Like what might take one person 5 years might take the next person 2 years or 1 year. But it's the concept that it takes time, and you have to be patient, and you have to be willing to put in the work. You have to be willing to put in the work, because that is what makes you successful. That is what gets you from point A to point B, is putting in the work. And when you hear somebody like Nigel Barker say you have to put in the work without using those specific words, reflect on that. It takes time. I've been doing this since 2015. It's 2020, and it's a crazy year. It's quite the year. But it's a good year for me. It's a year where I'm able to take charge of my own career. It's a year that I can turn down things, I can accept things. But it took me 5 years, you know, 5 years from signing with my first agency to being able to interview somebody like Nigel Barker. That takes time. And it happens when you're ready. I remember, you know, really wanting to be a part of America's Next Top Model, like I'm sure many of you wanted to be. And it just didn't work out for me when I was younger. It didn't work out. But here we are in 2020, and I'm talking to one of the guest hosts. My apologies. I'm always getting those words mixed up. I'm talking to one of the hosts of America's Next Top Model. If I could go back and tell my 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. If I could just tell my younger self that, like, hey, relax. Your time will come. It will happen when it is right for you. I would totally go back and tell myself that, because when you're young, you think, oh, I want to do this by a certain time. You have these deadlines and these due dates in your brain for when you want to get things accomplished, and then it doesn't happen. And then you get bummed out, and then you're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, but not me. Not I, said the cat. I am very much like, oh, it didn't happen now. All right, wait it out. You got to wait it out. You guys, we have so much time on this planet that, like, you should be taking this time to perfect your craft, being comfortable with yourself, being comfortable with your art, defining who you are, being comfortable with what that looks like, and really going forward and going hard at that. I asked Nigel Barker, like, what is some information or advice or insight you would give for models or aspiring industry professionals to enhance their success? This is what he had to say.
I mean, look, unfortunately, the only real advice is to tell people to believe in themselves. And it's the same even with photographers, to be honest. I mean, I get asked by photographers to look at their work all the time, every day. You know, if you try and cater to other people, you lose your art, you lose your style, you lose your personality. Yeah. And, you know, and it's a very, very hard thing to tell someone. So if you really want to get out there, stand for something, mean something, have a cause, have a foundation, you know, make a difference. And that is what's going to attract people to you.
Well, now you know, being a model is something that you have to work hard at, like anything in the world, you know. But it's important to keep in mind that being a model is more than a title, it's a career. So it's training for that career. It's maintaining what you need to be successful in that career. It's leveling up in the career. It's understanding what your career is about. It's treat it like any other job. any other career path, if you want to do it, understanding the industry, understanding the history of it, understanding, you know, the top tier models, the competitors, you know, inspiration, influences, historical icons, knowing the industry is so important, guys. It's super, super important, because what it does is it helps you figure out where you fit. If you know about the industry, you can understand and navigate it how you need so that you can be successful in what it is you're trying to do. Then you're not looking to the next person and asking, hey, how can you help me become a model? Can you help me become a model? And while there are many things that, you know, are out there, like classes, super great to take if you're not good at what you're trying to do, whether it's runway, whether it's posing classes, facial expression classes, whether it's acting classes, commercial acting classes, understanding how to slate, understanding, you know, how to be prepared for a casting. Some of these things you have to know. But once you gain the insight and the knowledge, that will help you so much more in trying to understand where you fit in this industry. So that way you're not looking to the left and to the right, like, can you help me do this? Because you've got all the tools and tips and things that you need to be successful. And that's what I'm here for. I am one of those tools to help you get more confident and be prepared in this industry so that you're able to take off, you know? And if it's not me, maybe you have somebody close to you. You know, but this is a kind of industry where you have to be prepared. You have to be ready because you want to stand confident in who you are and what you're trying to be and know that you can do that without asking permission from someone else, you know? And same goes with photographers. I get a bunch of photogs asking me insight about their work. And Nigel talked on that. You know, he gave some insight for photographers.
If you're an artist and you're really true to yourself, you don't turn around and say to someone, how's the picture? Do you think it's finished? Do you think I should add a little more blue in the corner? What do you think? Shall I add another daffodil? You know, no, I think this is, you know, or you just finish your work. As a photographer, you have to take a picture. You have to know when you've got it. It has to make you happy. You happy. Not everyone else, you.
And that's the truth. That is the total truth. Nigel gave so much information, you know, about the history of the industry, about how he transitioned, you know, into a photographer from being a model, insight he would give aspiring models, and just so much knowledge he gave during our time of talking. And I was just super grateful to even be able to take that information and share it with everybody so that they can hear what they need to hear to get inspired or influenced by the industry, by Nigel, by the conversation, so that you can, you know, be better in your craft. I ended up asking Nigel what it is that he wanted to see in the industry, what he wanted to change, because I know I still have some things, but coming from an icon who's seen much change, what could he want?
Runway shows, really, where we have a proper cross-section of society walking through, walking down. Because if you're a good designer, you should be able to create clothes that look good on real people, because that's who's buying your clothes, not models. They get it for free, right? So, you know, where, you know, really designed for people. And that's what I want to see change.
And then I feel like I'd have the rebels of the industry like, oh, well, you know, we have plus size and curve models on the runway. We have that. We've included that. We include regular people, you know, regular everyday people in our runway shows. We have curve girls. We have plus size. Like, what are you talking about? We have body diversity. And, you know, I feel that we only still accept one kind of full figured or plus size model. It's a certain shape. It's a certain size. And it was awesome to find that, you know, Nigel shared the same thought process I had when it comes to perfect plus size models.
Even the plus size models that we have, to be honest, are sort of perfect plus size models.
And I completely agree. I completely agree that the plus size full figured models are still very perfect in their visual, very perfect in their proportion. I know that Fashion Nova or Pretty Little Thing or whatever Instagram boutique, you know, you can check out, they use plus size models, and they may sometimes use a woman who is a plus size model who isn't pear shaped. And if you think about a pear, you think about a smaller top and a larger bottom, creating a very accentuated hourglass figure. But then there are women who are more apple shaped, who have the roundness more in their core, in their belly area. And Fashion Nova uses those kind of models. I've seen Pretty Little Thing use that type of plus size curve model. But where's the industry in accepting this, you know, body diversity, the genuine diversity and body inclusion that we need, that we were looking for when you brought in plus size models? Look, we have so much to change in the industry. There has been so much change that's happened in the industry. But it's important to understand the history, the transitions, the trends, and different things, so you understand where you fit in, how you became to fit in. And that just makes your story even more powerful. So learn your history, learn the industry, do the work. There is nobody that's going to take you from, you know, Cinderella to like this princess at midnight, or however the story goes. You guys know the story. You know the story. But there's no magic wand. It's time, it's persistence, it's preparation, it's organization, it's all of that. It's treating it like a profession and working hard to get good at your craft. If you spend part-time on it, if you make it like a hobby, that's all it's going to be, is a hobby. You have to put the effort into making it what it is that you want it to be. Don't ask for permission. Don't look to the person to the left or to the right to grant you access into this magical door. Do prepare. Do ask for help. Do use your resources for sure, because you want to be prepared when you knock down that door. You want to be prepared to know what to do. And that's what all this is about. That is what all this is about. I make sure whoever I throw on here helps you in one way or another, whether it's listening, a tip, a skill, a word of inspiration, whatever it is that you need. I'm hoping that you guys listen in and just say, this podcast is my source for like inspiration, for motivation, for that kind of thing. I want you guys to be prepared, and I want you guys to achieve. I want you guys to succeed in whatever it is you're wanting to do. Just understand that you have to put the work in. Nigel, before he left, just told me the most amazing thing. And I just wanted to hear you guys, let you guys hear what he said.
Good work that you've been doing. I noticed what you're up to. I've had a look at your sites. I see what you're doing, and it's important. And, you know, you've got good things to say, and I'm happy to contribute. So thank you.
Again, you heard it here. You heard it right here on the Model Counselor Podcast. Listen, what I'm doing is for you guys. What I do is for you, because I just want to help. I like to help. So take my word that what I'm saying, not even just my word, the fact that Nigel can really just sit here and say, I see what you're doing and you have good things to say. I'm saying genuine information. I'm not here to bully anybody. I'm not here to make fun of anything or anyone. I am here to help, support, grow. Anything I can do to help you, that's what I'm here for. That's what this podcast is about. That's the goal. So listen to what I have to say, because I promise, it's valuable. Thank you guys again for listening. It was amazing. Thank you, Nigel Barker, for being a part of anything that I have been doing with the Model Counselor, Aubrey Ebony, and just sharing your words, your wisdom, your grace on, you know, somebody's little old life like me. And thank you guys for listening. Thank you all for listening, for coming back, for listening to what I have to say. I appreciate all of your support. Again, I hope you get something from this. We spread a lot of information out there. So I hope you picked up something. I hope something grasped at you and you were like, yeah, I like that. I'm going to keep that, because I want to provide that for you guys. This is the Model Counselor Podcast. I am your host, Aubrey Ebony. This is season 2, episode 5. And thank you for listening. And I can't say that it's a lot, but I can say that you're my rock. Shook, shook, la la. Mal manger en chocolat. Shook, shook, la la. Mal manger en chocolat. Shook, shook, la la.